Welcome to I Can't Believe I'm 60, from hoops to hip replacement, the show where we celebrate the stories, the wisdom, the wild ride of approaching 60 or already being in our 60s. Today, I'm joined by my long-term friend, Mark Osbrooks. We met back in the mid-1990s where we worked at the same high school. A proud father, Washingtonian, husband, educator, and a man who's been rocking it in artificial hip for 25 years. Mark, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you, Brian. Thank you for having me.
Mark, think about this. 1995. That's 30 years we've known each other. Isn't that crazy?
That's crazy.
That's amazing. Back at Yorktown High School.
Yeah, when you would tell me when I was in my school counseling and development program, I was worried if I was going to get a job. And you used to always say, hey, don't worry. You're going to get a job.
You're going to get a job. You're going to get a job. And you've had a job for forever.
Yeah, forever.
Get you at it.
And I have a career.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah. And we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that as the show goes on. But let's take a little bit of a memory lane journey back to little Mark Osbrooks. Talk to us about growing up in the D.C. area and just a little bit about your story in terms of where you are now and how you got to where you are now from you know, growing up in D.C.
So I really had a very sheltered experience. And I say that from the standpoint of, you know, I grew up in an all black neighborhood and nothing but love from my neighbor. To my right of me was my godmother and her family. She had 12 kids. And to the left of me was Mrs. Mins Thorne, and they were the segregate grandparents.
Right.
And the community was different. You know, everyone looked out for one another. Everyone wanted to see everyone do well. You know, even to the point, Brian, when, you know, I know some very high profile people who did pharmaceutical sales, and they would tell me, get away from here. You don't need to be around here. You don't need to, just a lot of love. Everyone wanted to see me succeed.
Yeah.
And people like me to succeed. So,
you know, it's kind of like when Venus and Serena Williams had kind of like the gang members looking out for them and you know, telling other people to stay away from the courts and not bother them because they wanted to see them succeed.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, I think about that and, you know, I remember just feeling guilty when I finished college and I didn't take a job in D.C. I wanted to take a job in D.C., but that opportunity, I just felt guilty. And then years later, being able to work for D.C. Public Schools, because I always wanted to give back to that immediate community. So, but yeah, it was a beautiful time. I was just when you're in the moment, you don't know how blessed you are.
Yeah.
I just had people look out for me. I had mentors. I have had mentors all my life. And, you know, mentorship is one of my passions, because I'm directly benefiting from having mentors.
So when you talk about mentors and you talk about people who have influenced your life, you got into football and you played college football. So, you know, when did football get into your life, and did you have mentors in sports as well coming up?
So, you know, we talk about hips. I had hip surgery in middle school years, 7th and 8th grade, where I had a slip epiphysis and they had put pins in my hip.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Was that from football?
No, this is before football. My mom, my grandmother, my paternal grandmother had hip problems, and they said it jumps a generation. So my dad didn't have those problems and I had those problems. And what happens is that I didn't play freshman football. I played sophomore year. I knew football was going to be a means to an end. And what the benefit was is that in my junior year, I transferred schools.
Okay.
And I met two men who just really changed my life. I don't know where I would be. And that's Mike Durso. He's my high school principal. And then Horace Fleming, who passed away a couple of years ago. And these were my father figures, and I really needed that in my life. And they looked out.
Yeah.
To the point of, I remember meeting with my principal when I transferred into Jackson Reed, which back then was Woodrow Wilson High School,
Right.
I was told what the expectations were academically, and I had to sit in the front of the classroom. So cared about me more than this athletics, and my football coach also, he cared about me as a human being. And coaching is very, very important for young people. We have to have a reason for these young people to come to school, be it athletics, band, theater, whatever. But that was my hook, and that really made a difference. I don't know what my life would be like if I didn't have athletics and have those people in my life.
You know, it's interesting because you mentioned the name Mike Dersault, and he has been influential to both of us. He hired both of us at Yorktown High School, and that's where we met. But when you talk about mentors and you talk about relationships, and I've talked about this on a number of my podcasts, when I think of you, Mark, I think of somebody who's genuinely interested in seeing young people succeed and being their cheerleader, no matter who they are. No matter the color, their background, who they are, you're just so important, so focused on what can you do to help them be successful. Where does that come from?
I just think, I think it comes from my mom because, my mother made me believe that I could do anything.
Yeah.
And then I went to a university, I went to North Carolina A&T, and that this, that was a degree, and the people around me who took time out and made me accountable for my actions. They didn't, I'll never forget, I missed a class, and my professor said this, Jackie Jones, my public relations professor.
You remember her name.
Oh, absolutely.
Wow.
He said to me in front of everyone in class, "You're not going to waste our money. You better get your butt to class." She said,
Wow.
"Our money. You're not wasting our money."
Wow.
And she said that in front of everyone. That was very humbling.
Yeah. Well, and that actually showed that she's not putting football players or athletes on a pedestal and they can just
Right.
do anything. She's going to hold
Right.
you accountable just like everybody else.
Yeah. So I think that the thing for me, and this to this day, I just want everyone to have
Yeah.
access to the best education possible. And the reality, I know we live in the DMV area. And oftentimes it's a lot of pressure to go to college. And I think everyone needs to have a plan. And we have been exposed to some wonderful school systems, and the school system I'm in now, you can learn to be a plumber. You can learn to how do hair.
Yeah.
You can learn to be an electrician. They build houses in the school district I work in. So to be able to find your place so
Yeah.
you can be successful and just be happy. And you have to define what's happening, it's going to look like. And it can't, I mean, I hate to use this term, can't keep up with the Joneses
Right.
and just run your race. And there's just so many opportunities, but sometimes those roadblocks are there that don't allow you to have access to do those things. And I think that's, as an educator, that's my job to make sure if you choose not to do these things, it's because you choose not to, not because someone's being a gatekeeper.
Yeah. So how did you overcome some of the challenges that you had when you were younger, though? Because you did have some challenges.
Yeah, so one of the things is early on, I had difficulty reading, and it was in first grade, and we were all in a circle, and it was that "See John run, run John skip," or whatever,
Right.
and I just memorized when it was my turn to say whatever. I wasn't reading; I was just memorizing.
Yeah.
I knew the rhythm. And unfortunately for my teacher, she did not realize that till January of that school year. And I just think my mom, she just not, would never give up. And, she made education in my home fun. So, for example, we would play games. One of the games I love playing with my family is Scrabble.
Okay. Yeah.
One year with family members, okay, that's what my mom did. And then you're learning new words.
Yeah.
You don't realize you're learning new words. You just think, it's the competition, it's all those things. So just being, just having a champion who never gave up on me. And, I wanted to do well in school. I liked school.
Yeah.
That's my jam. And then, have an opportunity to go away and someone pay for it. I'm not trying to be arrogant, but I knew I was going to get an athletic scholarship because I had no other options. We didn't have a college fund.
Right.
So I had to do what I had to do. So, and then, thankful for my brother who he played football at Virginia Tech. So there was a roadmap. And oftentimes, a lot of people, if they never see it exposed to these things, they don't know. And oftentimes they don't believe.
Yeah, they don't think they could, they don't think it's possible.
Right. And that's that breaks my heart more so than anything else, because I've been around a lot of people in college who I don't know how they, how did they do, how did they get here, but they never gave up.
Persistence is a golden kind of nugget in somebody's belief system. It's just if you can, keep going and you're resilient and you don't give up and you have people in your corner that believe in you, it really helps people be successful.
So one time I remember telling someone asked me, I still mentor, and I'm mentoring young men to got people in their 40s, 50s now. It's just good to have those relationships. But remember someone asking, well, Mark, what do you think I should do? Should I just try something else? I said, no, keep at it. And just keep being positive. And I remind him, you look at athletics. Athletics is great because everyone, most great programs are so positive. Come on, let's go. Enthusiasm. None of this, hey, this is horrible, this, that, and other. No one has time for that. But if you take that same approach to life, that you're gonna be positive about it, you're going to get up, you're going to be better than you were yesterday. I think those things make a difference.
So when you were in college, you didn't go to college to be a teacher and to be a counselor, to be in education. What was your focus?
Well, I'm glad you asked that. The reality of the situation is that I did want to go into education. My mother
Really?
was an educator in DC public schools. She did not want me to be any parts of that. My head football coach in high school, he did not want me to do it. One of the counselors who was also the basketball coach, I remember being in my coach's office. I said, "Hey, I want to be an education major." And he said, "That's the easy way out. Don't do that." And
That's
the only,
very interesting.
yeah. Well, educators oftentimes, I've had many a story where we talk people out of going into education. And Mike Dursel was the only one who encouraged me and gave me a pathway. I wish I had the exposure because where I went undergrad, man, they had a great teaching program. And the scary thing about it, I remember years ago, we were looking for educators, and it was really good for my school, but sad for my district, is that everyone at North Carolina A&T State University is placed in a job their junior year. So they have jobs their junior
Really?
year.
Wow.
That is just,
That's impressive.
that is just awesome. But it doesn't help us in other places unless those people definitely want to go there, go outside of, that North Carolina State.
So talk about how you dabbled in TV though. I mean, that's what you have some experience in. And even today, you're a school counselor. I mean, you're an assistant principal. You were a school counselor, but all throughout this time, you've done some stuff in TV, even if it's kind of on the periphery.
So my what's crazy enough is I was a public relations communication major, English minor, and I never took one TV class in undergrad. Okay,
Really?
yes,
I did
and
not know that.
my first job out of college was I worked on a television show, a production company. We did on ESPN called Black College Sports Today. It highlighted the four historically black athletic conferences. And it was a great experience. And then one of my mentors is a guy named James Brown. And JB, he was just always good. I met him my junior year. He spoke at our sports banquet. And we reconnected in college. And he's a good man. He used to always say, "Hey, if I need anything, let me know." JB just would just call to check up on me. I remember one time Early on, I'm not sure these young people have to hustle, but they hustle in a different way. They create their own content because, television and print is totally different now than it was 30 years ago. And I was just trying to work for CBS, just being a runner, getting my getting into the system. I've been working with JP Sports. They did all the ACC games. Constantly did that. I think one of the, just to digress a little bit, the hardest job, one of the hardest jobs I've ever had is to pull cable and make sure those wires are okay for the television. But JB called me and he said, hey, he just wanted to know how things were going, like we all do. We just check up on one another. And I said, hey, things are going great. I got this job, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, tell him all the great opportunities that on my plate. I said, hey, but you know what? CBS will never call me back. It was a guy named John Komensberger. Okay, I called him every week. And JB stopped me and said, ho. I'm going to call you back in 5 minutes, or somebody from CBS is going to call you back. That same guy called me as if I had never called. Hey, I'm looking for Mark Osborne because I want to hire you for this game and that game.
It's
What
about
he did,
connections.
what he did, he gave me an opportunity. And I try to do the same thing for others as well, pay it forward. So I stayed in television. I love what I do now. The job I primarily do is like a stage manager. It's called the red hat or timeout coordinator. I do it for NFL football games. I did some UFL games this year too. I did two games so far, but I love it, man.
Doing that for what, 30 years now?
30
25?
plus years. Yeah, I
Amazing.
love it. I love going to stadiums. I love football. And for me, I stopped coaching. I take parenting very seriously. That not that coaches can't be a dad and coach, but I want to spend a lot of time with my kids. And when you coach, you coach football, it's a lot of hours.
A lot of time away, yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to pick up my son, pick up my daughter, do all those things. But being able to do sports production, television production, really helped me keep my hands in the atmosphere of football. So that's a great thing.
That's amazing. You call yourself the director of development for Deuce and Marley. I love that.
Oh,
Where did that come from?
it's the truth, because you look at these companies, it's on me. When things aren't getting done, I was talking to my son about a month or two ago, and I apologize because it was certain things I didn't make him do. I did not teach him how to do things. I'm not a handy guy. My wife is more handy. We talk about role reversals or whatever in society. And I had to apologize to him because, it was a couple of things he was not getting done, accomplished, that I would have liked him to do in my home because he was home. And I just apologize. And I just, we, you're, when you're older, you can have those conversations. Not that I fail, but, it's up to me. I got to make sure these kids are okay. I'm responsible. I'll never forget. I remember the first time my wife went away when we had our first child. You're responsible for everything that goes into your child's body. So if they don't get proper nutrition, that's kind of heavy. That's really kind of heavy. But I just take it seriously. I want everything to do well. I want my kids just to move on. My mom, she used to always say, when I was an undergrad, she just wanted me to progress, be successful, and be happy. And that's exactly what I want for them. I'm just very blessed. One, man, it's just, I don't take things for granted. There's a lot of foolishness out in those streets. I have both my children. Even though they see my flaws, they still love me. I know they love me. They want to spend time with me. That's great. And they're doing great. And there's a lot of foolishness and kids, unfortunately, doing drugs that are killing them. It's things are just different,
One of the things you said is that you apologize to your son, and I think that shows a maturity, a wisdom, because you can't hold people accountable for which they have not been taught and modeled. And if he wasn't taught a certain skill or a certain thing, then it's hard to hold him accountable or anybody accountable. And so you, as the parent, actually modeled some vulnerability by apologizing and saying, "Oh, my bad." And that's huge, Mark.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it. You know, it's just like in the educational space, I say all the time when we're in these meetings, I say, hey, we need to model these behaviors. So if people aren't doing things, are we doing what we're supposed to do? Let's model the behavior. You model the behavior. People, you know, I stole this. I wish I remember who I stole this from. So one of the things we asked is that teachers are outside their classrooms to greet kids and so forth. And it's just having that presence makes a difference. But what I do is I give little pieces of candy or chocolate to the teachers. Oh my goodness. It's like I'm giving them $1 million.
That's because you recognize them. People want to
Well,
agree.
that's the thing. You model those behaviors. You say, hey, I appreciate you. You know, those are easy things. It doesn't cost a lot of money. But it's also, I know we're coming up on Teacher Appreciation Week. But the reality is, I hope that I appreciate you all year long, and I'm very consistent with that. And you know, I'm very honest. Just like I tell people about Father's Day, I don't want anything from Father's Day, nothing, because you know, how am I doing? How am I treating you every day? You know, treat me that way every day. That's what I want to see happen.
Let's change gears a little bit, and we talk about why we're here in terms of this podcast. Again, I started this podcast because I turned 60 this past February, and I've started to feel some aches and creaks, and I had a hip replacement in 2018. You had your hip replaced 25 years ago when it wasn't as advanced as it is now. Talk to us about, your hip replacement, how you're doing now. I mean, it was like Y2K almost. Was it 20, was it 2000?
So it's funny enough is that my mother-in-law's a registered nurse, and she kept telling me, "Hey, you're too young, you're too young." But the technology came out where it's titanium on titanium, where back in the day you had a plastic socket in titanium, and 15 years later you had to get that hip replaced again. Which, if I don't know, that was just a very scary time. But you know, I used to make excuses about going out with the family and walking and stuff like that. I was just in so much pain. I did do the surgery. It's the best thing ever. The only time I really have trouble is if I sit too long. Like if I do a drive for more than 4 or 5 hours and I don't take a break, I can get stiff, and then I have to exercise. And walking is a great thing. It was a great decision. I highly recommend it. It's just my total wellness. And really, you know, when you're in pain, nobody wants to be in pain.
The quality of life, and you mentioned this to me a lot, it's all about quality of life. And as you said, you should have done it. Like, I talked to one of my friends, my teammate Mike O'Reilly, who was on the show a couple weeks ago, and he just had two hip replaced within the last 3 months. And he said he should have done it earlier, sooner, because he couldn't walk, and it was just, he said it's like a toothache in your hip just constantly.
Well, you know, Brian, what's crazy is that I can point out someone who needs a hip replacement, and you know, it's that walk, the gait. And you probably have seen it too. And I go up to people and say, "Hey, man, you know, have you thought about this, ma'am? Have you thought about that?" I have. It's been 25 years now. I've had no problem. I remember, like year 3 or 4, I was riding my bicycle and I fell down, boom, hard. And I thought I jacked something up, and I went to the doctor. Everything was fine.
We're good, huh?
Yeah, oh, it's not going anywhere. So,
That thing of being a little bit afraid or tentative for the surgery, and that's understandable, because I was. That's why I put it off. But when I, had the surgery, I'm like, why did I wait so long? Because I'm sure I was not the nicest person. I was miserable, and it does affect everything you do.
That's so true. You know, the funny thing is that my mom had my biological mother had passed away, but my mother-in-law, who is just like a mother to me, she came down from New York to take care of me. after my hip replacement. So things, but technology is so different now. I had one of my teachers, she got a hip replacement and she went home the same day.
Yeah, I did too. I went
You
home
went
the
home the same day?
same day. Didn't stay overnight. Yep. They got
Oh,
me up
wow.
after surgery, and I was walking this the Stairmaster that wanted me to keep moving. And then yeah, a couple hours later, they released me. Went home the same day. It is amazing, you know, what technology
Oh my
can,
goodness.
you know, happen over the last 10, 15 years. So.
That's I just remember that like at 12 o'clock at night, these little small, and I was like 300 and some pounds at the time. These little small nurses say, "You got to get up," and I was just scared that they're going to drop me.
Yeah.
And that was the, I think that was the hardest part of the whole surgery, that whole process.
Yeah.
And I got to do all my physical therapy. I was in the hospital, so I had like a week in the hospital doing physical therapy. And then I guess I had good insurance. They came to my house and did physical therapy.
Really?
Yeah, I had like 2, 3 weeks. They came to my house.
Wow. Yeah, no, we I had to go to physical therapy a couple of weeks after the surgery, but they never came to our house. But still, it was great. I mean, it was the best thing I could have done for my health. Hey, this has been great. I really appreciate it. I have a couple more questions before we leave. As you approach 60, and Mark started this thing, I'm talking to the audience now. Mark used to start this thing, although he's only 1 year younger than me. He used to call me his older friend. So my younger friend, as you approach 60, do you feel any different? Like when we were younger, and we heard the number, somebody's 60 years old, and I thought that was like ancient. Do you still feel that way, that you the way you thought when you were younger, or is it just a different, you know, feeling as you're?
I don't think 60 is that old. I don't think when I was younger, I just think they had more toys. As I look at the older people, my relatives and so forth, and people I knew, they just had nice things. And truth be told, you have different seasons. Education's more important than I think growing up as a kid in this stereotypical boys liking toys and trucks and cars and all. I like cars. I really do. But I drive a station wagon
Right.
because I choose to put my resources into education for family.
Yeah.
But this is, I think as I get older, I just have more opportunities and I've been blessed to listen to others.
Yeah.
Their success. I remember when I was a school counselor, I would ask my kids, parents who are just doing well, and the kids is just crushing it. What are you doing for college? And I listened. They talked about real estate and they talked about stocks. And they were,
Sure.
first they thought I was joking, but I was being very serious. And I just listened, and just being a good steward of the things I have. I talk about me not being here, and sometimes it bothers my wife, but I just want everyone to be okay. When I leave, but that's going to happen one day. It just is, but I need to make sure everyone's okay. And I think as we get older, that wisdom, nothing like wisdom because of time. You
Yeah.
just have these experiences.
Sure.
And what I hope for my biological children and the students who I get to work with, I just don't want them to have to make the same mistakes I made. And them being able to navigate spaces, sometimes it's hard for young people
Yeah.
to see what's coming. You know what's coming. If you don't do X, Y,
You
and Z,
can see it. So
there's very few times in life where something's going to matter 5 years from now, and you have to determine what's important to you.
yeah, that kind of ties into my final question. You know, what would you tell 20 something year old Mark Alsbrooks?
I would say, hey, just be patient. Your future is going to be great. You're going to have a wonderful experience. You're going to have a wonderful life, and just enjoy the ride and take time out to have fun. Every year, one of my resolutions is have fun for myself and do stuff for myself.
Yeah.
But I get joy out of helping others, so.
Well, Mark, I appreciate this. You know, one of the things I appreciate is you never know how, you know, what a, you know, a connection, a meeting, a chance meeting, or working with somebody will lead to. And it's led for us to be friends for 30 years and to still be connected, not just friends. We text each other or call, you know, and I think that is something that I very much appreciate. I learn a lot from you too, because you're very reflective and you're a learner. And I think you're always trying to figure out how to, like you had mentioned it earlier, how to get better and how to improve on a lot of different aspects of life. And I think I appreciate that from you. And I just appreciate you coming on tonight.
No problem. I appreciate you, my older friend.
All right.
All
It
right, take care.
will never end. So have a good evening and talk to you soon.
All right, thanks for having me.
If you enjoyed this, please tell a friend, or better yet, tell someone who refuses to believe that they're 60 or over, or even approaching 60. You can find me on Spotify and Apple Podcast. And remember, age is just a number, but discounts are real. Stay active, stay curious, and remember, it is so okay to take a nap. Catch you next time for more laughs, wisdom, and whatever else I can remember to talk about. Thanks for tuning in, friends.